Thanks for tuning in to your Day Off Podcast, hosted by your boys, Corey and Tony.
I think by the end of today, I might have another best friend.
They're committed to making you fall in love with the hair industry, one podcast at a time.
You're going to grab a lot of information.
Yeah, you're going to learn a lot.
Presented by Hairdistry and powered by Schedulicity.
Without further ado, should we do?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is it. Your Day Off Podcast will begin after a word from our sponsors.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Introducing Norm Self-Checkout for All. Do you often find yourself in a tizzy with a credit card reader? Or perhaps tiptoeing around tipping etiquette? Maybe even paying scandalously steep card-not-present fees? Norm is here to solve it all. Think of Norm as payment simplified. No card reader for you, no wallet for your client. Instead, patrons pay and tip you straight from their phones. Checkout details are carried through the ether by either a text message or QR code. Your client receives a notification and pays with their previously saved card details. All they have to do is add a grand, luxurious gratuity. And all available with one low rate as a part of Schedulicity Pay. Try Norm Self-Checkout for All. Safe, secure, and shockingly simple. Find out how using Norm can increase tips, speed up payment, and free you from unreliable card readers all at one low rate. Visit paywithnorm.com.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jerry Natuno, CEO and founder of Schedulicity, and we're proud to bring you this amazing podcast.
Welcome to your day off. My name is Corey, and of course, I'm sitting with my best friend, Tony. What's up, brother?
What's going on, homie?
Chilling like a villain. Excited about today?
Me too. You know, we get to talk to a good friend that's a good friend of the podcast who her story has touched so many.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, just to kind of like go backwards, it's just kind of amazing. You said, a good friend of ours, and just like the friendships and the relationships that's been created along the way of this podcast, sometimes like kind of stops me in my boots a little bit, you know?
Because, and you're right, because it gets you to think that sometimes our conversations go deep and you share an experience in a moment that just kind of automatically brings you as friends.
Yes, it's very much, the podcast for me has been very much like summer camp or like boot camp. You know, it's the people that you've grown with over that time, or the people that you've had like hard experience with. And certainly when we've had tough conversations or we've had hard conversations, there is like a different bond that's kind of there. You know, I don't know. This is all personal, and this is kind of how it just feels very cool. I feel very fortunate. But that being said, we were on a clubhouse and somebody was like, they were so scared to talk to us because we talked to everybody. Like, what does that even mean? You know, if you see us, dude, I promise we're laid back, man. It's pretty cool. We want to talk to you, even if you don't have the big name that you're scared of.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, man, we want to talk to you. You're our friend, you know, especially if, you know, you listen to the podcast, we want to dig deep with you. So, yeah. You know, don't hesitate. Come chat with us and we'll get you.
This year we're going to be at ABS. We're going to be at Premier Orlando. We have a bunch of BarberCon events that are coming up, you know, and again, if we're in the same room, please, please, please come by and say hi. Now I will tell you, if we're on air actually recording, don't come say hi. Kind of wait till we're off. But you know, by all means, if you see us hanging out, you know, tap us on the shoulder and just say hello to us. We love to meet. We love to meet people, and we love to,
To celebrate our industry.
We love to celebrate our industry. You said it great there. So today, like we opened up, today our guest is Lisa Carella. And Lisa, during the first podcast, man, it was an emotional ride. We kind of talked about her immigration story. We kind of talked about how she immigrated to the U.S. We also talked about the very, very special bond that she had with her dad. We talked a lot about that. And I mean, I guess at this point we from Heritistry and officially and publicly, you know, we just want to share our condolences as well for her dad and for her. So, but yeah, it was just, I highly recommend going back and listening to the podcast. It's from a couple years ago.
But make sure you have tissues.
Make sure you have tissues and lots of them. Exactly. Yeah. So we did that. We recorded with her at a Cosmoprof event, I guess like 2.5 years ago or so. It was the one that they did here, the Cosmoprof that they did here in DC. But please go back and listen to that. So today we're talking to Lisa. Lots of change is in Lisa's life. She's no longer with the Cosmoprof team, but she's picked up with another team, which is pretty cool. And, well, shall we get in?
Yeah. She'll explain it.
She'll explain it way better than we will. Yeah. Hey, so Miss Lisa Carella, welcome back to your day off.
Hi guys, what an introduction. I just love you guys so much and all you guys do, so much respect. Thank you for having me one more time.
Absolutely, dude. You always have if Tony's not here, you can always sit in that chair over there as well.
Yeah, but I mean, you've changed, you know, our podcast in the sense when we did the interview with you and how deep and raw and emotional that podcast got. I mean, we're like, you know, that's exactly is what our podcast is all about. You know what I mean? And your story was just so overwhelming, so touching. So it was just so personal. It was if you wanted to get to know Lisa, listen to that podcast because it was so beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. I always trying to like, I feel like social media and being up there, I always tell myself, I just don't want to be that person that doesn't even know them on self, or it projects somebody that they don't really are. So I always trying to be as real as possible in everything I do, even if I'm doing a story, a post, I'm going live, or I'm getting interviewed by amazing people like you guys. I'm always trying people to see that Lisa, you know, because it's so easy to imagine that you are somebody. And then when that person talks to you or get to you somehow, doesn't matter what media they're using, you don't feel it. And it happens to me a lot with a lot of celebrities, like movie stars and things like that. I'm like, oh no, this is not even what I expect. So thank you for giving me that opportunity to connect with your audience.
100%. It's, you know, Tony brought up the first podcast we did and like, it was a very interesting room because it was me and you and Lisa and Olivia was sitting at the table with us. And then, you know, we had our crew around us too. So, you know, there was like four or five people in the room. Well, four or five, six, there was like six to seven people and everybody was bawling. Everybody was crying.
Oh, man. Yeah. And Olivia's like, I didn't know that. But I think Olivia was there for support because she, because I know Lisa was a little bit nervous with, you know, I guess English or, you know, cause it was just, she was there for support and we all definitely had tears in our eyes.
Bonded and cried and all that stuff. It was a cool thing. And I have a great video of Lisa and Keon, dancing together. Lisa's definitely a better dancer than Keon. So Keon, if you're listening, Lisa's definitely a better dancer than you.
I mean, I was a professional dancer, so I know how to.
Well, Keon thinks he was a professional dancer.
Mm-mm, not at my level. Right. Hello, Keon. If you listen to this, not at my level. Right. I did it since I was little.
Right.
And I didn't stop. That makes sense. So I didn't stop until I started doing hair. No, not even start doing hair. I think I continue dancing and doing hair at the same time. I basically stopped, I think, like around 7 years ago.
Wow. Do you? Hey, before the pandemic, did you go to clubs and stuff to keep your dancing moves on?
I always do. I always trying to keep more. I mean, it was never gonna be the same dance move that I used to do, but I just get to release that energy and that adrenaline. When I listen to music, I get possessed. You know, it's kind of like I become somebody else. And if I don't release that, I can kind of, I don't know, I don't go to bed right. I kind of cricket, like kind of like, something is missing or something is not supposed to be on my body. I don't know how to explain it, but I do it a lot. I try. Doesn't matter if I get invited to a wedding. I don't care. I will steal that dance floor and I will make it mine. And I just love dancing. It's my other passion.
So when the pandemic hit, did you just dance in your house by yourself? Or, I mean...
Oh, do you know that? I don't know, but I was doing salsa classes. I think at the beginning of the pandemic, I felt everything was so negative. And coming from my background where nothing hasn't been easy and a country where there is no toilet paper on the stores or food on the shelves, I'm like, what are you guys complaining? America is great. America is amazing. And you guys are making money with the unemployment. Are you kidding me? People in my country are literally like eating each other during pandemic. Like they just, still, it has been the hardest time on history, you know? So I was like, no, I want to bring a little more positivity. And I started doing salsa classes on the stories and teaching for free and going. I started utilizing Facebook that I have never utilized before. And I was doing a lot of free education there. And a lot of dancing, a lot of like bright. I want to bring bright and I want to share. One day I even went live with my mom. I want to share with Americans how bad other countries were going. Here in Vegas, guys, the casinos, when they shut down, all the employees can go. I'm telling you. My friend called me 2 times. I don't work in a casino. She could open the trunk of her car and the food will literally come out of. I'm talking about high-end restaurants, like good steak, like what's good. Everything was given away. I'm like, what the heck? Like, this is, I mean, I was telling my family in Cuba and they were like, what? I mean, like, you don't see that anywhere. I have family and friends everywhere. My friend in Germany, everywhere. And nobody had it like us, as good as we did. And... yeah, so I start dancing, I start going live and sharing things and trying to be positive about the situation. Even though it was shocking, it was scary. I felt all those feelings, but, you know, I always try to, like, have an intention, you know. It's like, okay, I have this platform. People are listening to me right now. People are home. How can I impact them in a way that is more positive than what everybody's seeing on the news? All you can hear was death. And people dying. And I was like, what the shit? Like, the news were like, I stopped even turning my TV on. I was just, no, I'm not watching this because it was affecting my mental health.
Sure. Sure, sure, sure.
You and me both.
I wish I learned earlier on turning the TV off. You know, I got sucked in. Hey, Lisa, here's the deal, though. Next time we see you, I definitely want a 5-minute dance class, a 5-minute salsa class. You know, help me out?
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
That's it, man.
But he's going to do it with you.
Yeah, I'm going to do it with you. I want the class.
Oh, I got you. What are you talking about?
You're going to teach me the steps and stuff?
Yeah, I did it here in Vegas for a long time. And I remember a friend of mine, we walked into my studio or the studio that I used to teach. And I had a lot of like seniors. And she was saying, Lisa, you don't look back. You are teaching, and you have to turn around because those people look that they're going to break a hip. I was like, what? I didn't know that I was doing it so fast. So I was just, you know, that they weren't following. I didn't have any experience on teaching. But after that, I got really good at it. Yeah. I started paying attention. I started correcting. I started to, like, you know, understanding what teaching means, you know.
After the first group hurt themselves, right?
Yeah. After everybody, I was like, oh man, okay, right, you're right. I have to have like a, you know.
That's awesome. I see at hair shows now, Lacey's going to start teaching a salsa at all the, she'll be on main stage, like dancing, you know, like teaching people how to salsa. I'm definitely down, yeah,
Terrier
man.
Brothers 2.0.
Exactly. I mean, I wish if I can walk in all my classes. I mean, my own classes, I do it, but I even did it on Kia Texture Versus Race. I walked in dancing because they already know I'd done a couple events with her. So they're like, please, please do. I was like, you don't even have to say please. Put the music on.
We love Kia.
Oh, my gosh. They were so happy.
Yeah. I mean, I already apologized to you, but we were, yeah, you were kind of in our hometown, and we missed out because Kia did her event, and we're homies, and we're neighbors, and I'm a little bitter that we didn't make that happen, but you know, such is life. So Kia had her texture versus race. I guess what last was it, Lisa?
Last week, yeah, not this week. They just end the one before.
So what was the conference? What did you guys talk about?
Oh my God, it was so beautiful. I mean, Kia and I met maybe 4 years ago with the same reason. She was, I think, hosting her first event. And I was flying to Atlanta to do a class. And then from there, I had to be somewhere. But since I'm always on the West Coast, I don't think we do so much things here. I feel you guys are more fun over there. I was like, I'm going to go to the event and she want me to teach. And I mean, it was just like a last minute thing. And I was like, no, you don't even have to pay me. I believe in what you're doing. This is exactly what everything is about, you know, inclusive, like trying to teach without even feeling that you have to get something out of that. You know, it's all about sharing that texture message with everybody. That's what I believe. I want everybody that has two hands like the same that I do to do the same. What should be different because you are white and I'm black and I'm Latina, you shiny, who cares? See, everybody has two hands. Everybody can do texture hair, guys. So there is no doubt. And that always my message. And I think we click and connect through that. But her events are always related with that inclusive education. There is people from everywhere. And you learn all textures, all fabrics, what to do and what not to do. And you can have an open conversation about racism. I think that's something that we always shame, weird about. She just make it seem easy and she make it look like an open space so people can feel okay to be, hey, I'm not an inclusive salon and I don't know, I feel kind of weird about when clients come to me and I don't look like them and I have to do the hair. So we talk about all of the things. So this was basically my third event with her. Like I did the Jamaica one. We went to Jamaica together and I did that first one that I didn't get paid or anything. I just flew myself there and I teach for free and I left. And she always talk about that because she felt so grateful. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're starting and people do things like that, you're like, what the heck? There is real people? There is people that exist that do things like this? Yes, I am. Because I really believe and I really care about everybody understanding texture. And it's not because I say it because it's popular right now. No, because I had the texture hair. I had curly hair and I walked to many salons in the past and I left crying. Mm. I know the feeling that most of the clients are having walking around, not feeling secure or knocking a door in a salon and feel welcome. I felt left. I felt that I didn't, that I have the most horrible hair. I felt it was impossible for somebody to do my hair. I felt so many negative feelings in my life because of my hair. And why? Why should I feel like that? Why other people made me feel like that on this industry? I think that's supposed to end. I'm launching the new, I'm part of the launching for the new Kerastase product for curly hair coming up. And on the last meeting, they were just talking about how salons, they were rejecting. They were like, oh, no, we don't have that kind of clientele. Thank you. And I was like, holy shit. So my part on the class is going to be teaching the business of curls. That's a class also that I did at the beginning of this year. I create a curriculum. And I share a lot of my emotions behind the people that says, oh no, I don't need to do that hair. I don't know. I don't have those clients walking here. For those people, I create a class. So that's it. So I feel connected with Kia in so many ways. And those are the reason why I teach with her and with myself and with whoever that wants me to teach my curriculum about texture hair.
I love it. What are some of the biggest challenges? I mean, you said that, I mean, aside from the obvious, like, but when you actually get into the hair, like what are some of the biggest challenges that people have had to overcome aside from just doing it? You know, I guess my question is, like, is there anything that you can point to where, like, curly hair is different than, like, straight textured hair or anything that we can kind of, what the takeaways are, like how you deal with it?
I mean, it's different and it's always going to be different. But, I mean, cutting short hair is different than cutting long layers. I mean, right. Like, guys, being a barber is different than, I mean, white barbers, no matter what color the skin, they do textured hair. Why?
Right.
Have you thought about it? Why is it taboo still for hairstylists? I don't get it. When you go to barber school, you learn how to do all types of barbering. Beard hair, kinky hair, a guy that have dreadlocks and come to you for a lineup, white fine hair, like blonde, that when you're using your clippers, you sometimes, I don't know, get confused with gray. I don't know exactly what is different, but they don't, oh no, I don't do this type of hair. I have never heard that.
I think you hit the nail on the head when you're talking about school. I mean, we need to start putting textured hair into our cosmetology schools because everything is on a straight hair mannequin or maybe a wavy or a loose curl.
Well, it depends on what school you go to too, right? Like we learned on like straight hair mannequins, but then there's other schools out there that aren't being taught like straight hair, right? It's like, you know, in some of the other hair schools.
Most of the hair schools, they ask you to straight the hair and then they teach you whatever it is. If it's a cut or it's a color. My assistant, she graduates maybe 5 years ago. I'm talking about 5 years ago. Or four, something around there. And she got the impression that you have to straighten the hair if you want to cut it or color it. And that's what they taught her. I have a student that DM'd me last week. Hi, Lisa. My school teacher says that we cannot put curly hair on foils. Give me your insight because I see you do it and a lot of others do it. And how can I do this? Why? How can I tell her? How can I explain to her? You know how hard for me was to explain that? I literally didn't even type it. I grabbed my phone, record. I hit record and I just bent and went on for maybe 5 minutes. Because literally, I don't want her to stop loving texture because teachers at a school like that. That's a piece of shit. Yeah. Saying things like that when you know that it's not true. You know, so you literally like cutting people's hands.
Yep.
Of independence, of understanding, of growing, of loving.
Hard because the instructor.
But you don't know how to do it, you know. You should be at least honest and be, hey, I don't know how to do it, but I know there's a bunch of education up there, and I think you should research if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, unfortunately,
but saying that it's impossible. Right. I mean, hello,
teachers. They probably are they don't understand or know how to do it, so therefore they prevent their students from learning how to do it because they don't know how to help them. So they're just like, oh, we don't do that,
right?
Yeah. That's why the problem started at the schools. But going back to your question, right? How I handle, I mean, the way I handle it, or how, what was your question again?
Well, I mean, my question was kind of that DM, right? My question was that DM is like, how do we approach textured hair differently than what we have been taught? You know, are there any kind of like takeaways about, okay, this fabric, on this texture, this is why the approach is different or is the approach different?
Yeah. Yeah. And I start saying that it is different. And when I teach my classes, I always explain how I took myself to so much education. I went to so many different cities, so many classes, the biggest classes. I spent a lot of money. Not only that, I became a facilitator in my salon. A facilitator is somebody that has to be there on the day off, putting chairs, taking chairs, getting lunch, dropping off the educator to the airport, wherever. I did whatever I need to do in order to take that education, because I couldn't afford to pay one class every weekend. I became a facilitator. I became somebody that sweep the floor at the end and do whatever they need to do to take that education. So what I advise to every single person that might be listening right now or replay this, please just get as much education possible, because that's the only way it can open your space to choose what technique or what you would like to take for your own self use at the salon. That makes sense. So you have to create your own you when you come from beauty school. You have to take as much information possible so you create a best version of yourself. Doesn't matter in what area. But if we talk about curly hair, come on. Like when I finished beauty school, there was nothing out there. I think when I started teaching, there was nothing out there. You know, I can say literally loud that I'm one of the first ones, especially with putting bleach in a foil and closer and made the hair extremely blonde. Do pink, blue, green, whatever, all of that, and teach it in a class. Nobody was doing that. There was a bunch of brands doing cutting, like it was Diva Curl. There is other ones up there, but there was nobody with the balls big enough to figure out the chemistry. I'm serious. The chemistry behind, I can bleach the hair and I can fucking make it white and shut up. Right. So that was Laysa, the one that has those balls. And I don't want to even put, you know, any, some sort of like name on me, but I was the one that stayed until 3 a.m. at my salon. I left so many days off with the cleaning people, because on the days off, we do a deep cleaning in the salon, and I felt bad. Because I was basically experimenting with my friends and my and clients and stuff like that. I was trying to figure it out. I'm open to share. I'm, you know, like I just say, I went to classes and I teach for free. You know, nobody listen to this cannot say. If you know me, you know that I will share. I will answer your DMs. I mean, I share so much education for free. And of course, I have my curriculum. But basically, it's different. So because it's different, you have to get educated. Because it's different. And not all schools are familiar with texture hair. You should go outside your school and get the education so you can get the best, you know, out of your, you know, this industry in general.
I mean, listen, there's no better time right now. Like, you know, if you want to do all textured hair, there's no better time right now to get the education, because you have the Laysas out there, you have the Kias out there. I mean, there's people willing to educate and to share. So, I mean, there's no excuse and no better time to kind of be there. We have the resources now, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And like Laysa said, a few years ago, there weren't those resources out there. Hey, so last time we talked, again, it was not the last time we talked, but the last time we did a podcast, it was at Cosmoprof. And since then, you've left Cosmoprof, and now you're with Redken, and is it Mazzani?
Yes.
How was that change?
I mean, it's been amazing. I love both brands. It was a weird time to start because I start with them. And COVID hit. So it was like, whoa. So I've never been able to do a symposium or a live event with them. Everything has been virtual. I lie. Wait, when we did the launching for the partnership between Redken and Mazzani, that was, I would say, a month before the lockdown. So I got to New York and we did the amazing launch, and that was the only event that I have done, that I have met the team, that I have been on the, you know, academy in New York. I have that physical. But other than that, it's been amazing. It's good to be with a brand that you believe and you love and it's easy to work with. So I feel that I'm working with a brand that is easy to work with. They have all the tools that I need to perform my job. And that's it. That's all I need. Because for me, it was kind of hard to be with a brand. That's why I never thought about it, because I do texture hair so much. There is a lot of color brands that doesn't have the backup styling products that I need to use after I do the color.
Right.
I'm okay. Okay. We can do color. I can do, but okay. How am I style after? What am I going to use? So I had to talk about another brand, and that always was an issue. So working with Cosmoprof, because it's a distributor, I was working, or I was able to work with 10 million brands at once. I pick and choose, and I didn't care, you know, but going with a brand specific was kind of tricky for me. So knowing that Masani and Reckon, you know, create a partnership was perfect for me to get in.
That's awesome.
And was that decision during COVID? I mean, when did you join them?
I joined that year, but the decision, of course, it was taken the year before. Then in January, or at the end of January, that's when I went to New York. You know, we did that photo shoot and videos and all of that. And I think the month after that, everything went down.
Got shut down. Got shut on down there. Hey, Lisa, is Masani and Redken, are they going to do any of the shows this year? Or what's that schedule looking like?
I mean, I don't know yet. I'm still waiting if that is going to be a representation on the shows. Definitely virtual, we're going to be. I don't know in person yet.
Right. So during COVID, though, you started some new stuff, huh? So I heard your competition now. Is that true?
No, it would never be a competition.
No, it's not a competition.
Oh.
It's not a competition with us either. But so you started a podcast?
Yes, I did start a podcast. I never thought that I would do it, and it's a lot of work.
Tell me about it, Stud. Hey, when you did our podcast, was that the first one you did?
No, I did a couple.
Before ours, you did a couple?
I think so. Maybe after you guys. I think you guys, I don't remember, to be honest, but maybe I did one or two.
I kind of remember being the first.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
We'll take pride of that.
Yeah. Well, you
whether it's true or not, we'll pretend it is.
Yeah, we'll pretend it is. Well, yeah, I remember.
I'm really bad with dates and names. Those are bad.
Well, I remember you. I remember the first time we came on, you were worried that people weren't going to understand you and stuff, and that's why you had Olivia kind of sit next to you.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I always worry about that. It's a thing.
Well, I haven't
understood. My podcast, I'm super like the first two I had to delete and start over because I was so slow trying to pronounce everything and make sure that I was using all my letters, and I was fucked. That sounds really bad. Delete. Yeah. And literally I start over a million times just until I found my rhythm. And
I mean, we understand because it's the same thing. Like our first two podcasts, we took out all the ums and all the stutters and all the, you know what I'm saying, and all that kind of stuff. And then like after that, we're like, whatever, you're either going to listen because you like us or you're going to not listen because you don't like us. But you know, we can't control any of that.
I agree.
You know, nobody tunes into a podcast to hear a professional broadcast. You know, nobody's trying to hear like the 6 o'clock news. They're trying to hear real conversations and with real people. So, you know, that's, and I don't even know if that's true or not, but we're going to go with it. So,
literally, that was like in it, you know, like oh, that yeah, sound yeah. of my voice, just in some letters, I would just, and I was like, what the heck is that? Like, I should have gone. No, take that off. I was just so stupid about it, but I feel better now. Like, I'm more well prepared, and I prepare myself before I start, and I only record when I'm emotional and ready. I mean, in all the aspects of my life. If I have a bad day and I have a schedule to record that day, I'm not going to record.
You're not going to record? That's no. pretty smart, though.
Oh, and I'm okay with it, and I'm already broke my schedule and routine. In between, I create some 20-minute podcast where I just share about me, and I just don't interview anybody, and I'm just like, you know, I'm going to be more.
What's it about? I mean, are you talking about like your history? Are you talking about like, or is it like, this is what happened in the world of Lisa today? Like what's the gist?
Okay. That's a good question. The name says it all. The name is My American Vida.
I like
it. So vida means life in Spanish for any of the listeners that maybe doesn't know. But basically, I start with my life growing up in Cuba, how I became a dancer, how I came to America, my family. I just launched one yesterday with Vicky. She's kind of like my mom, one of the first person I met here in America. She was with me the first time I bought a car. Her husband took me. So we talk about all of that. She was the first one that took me to the gynecologist. I got pregnant and I lost my babies. She was there. She went to school to be a minister and marry me. Like, it's that kind of person that has been with me. She helped me to move out when I got divorced. You know, so she taught me English. Like, she took me to beauty school. She was my first client at beauty school. I'm telling you, somebody that have been a big part of my life. So I'm planning to interview those kind of people. And in between, I'm just sharing my deepest thought and emotion about a tema. Can be depression, can be success, can be being a mom, can be not being a mom, can be how to deal with stress. Like, I want to just in between talk about things that are always in my head and on the head that so many people. How you deal with this? And I might bring a specialist to the game. I'm going to interview family members. Like, I have my cousin next month, and I'm so excited because she went to university, but at the same time, she has biggest balls than me. So she came in a boat from Cuba to United States. Her husband took that trip 17 different times before he made it to America.
Whoa, so I got one, seven or seven?
17. One and seven. She got lost on the ocean. They got back. He got in jail. He tried again. Then the boat broke maybe 10 miles before they hit United States. I mean, they went through hell. And they own one of the most successful companies in West Palm Beach, Florida. She became a paralegal. Like, I can't even tell you. Like, they rock stars for me. And they came literally in a boat one day. And things like that. Like, I'm going to basically interview people that have impacted my life forever in so many ways. It can be a family member. It can be because I learned something from somebody. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to interview my salon owner. I want to, you know, I always tell everybody that I started my salon cleaning the salon. So I want her to tell the audience why. Why that happened. Because, I mean, seriously, like, I always talk about this and I'm sharing this and people always open their eyes on my classes. Nobody say anything. Just at the end, oh my God, that's so inspiring. But I don't know what people feel about it.
Right.
Everybody feel like starting from nothing and a scratch and feel the same way I felt one day. I don't know. So I think she's one of my biggest support and a good friend. And I think it would be a good interview. So I'm going to pick people that are really important in my life or have been, or I don't know, maybe I interview an ex. I don't care. I'm planning to interview people that have been in my life. I'm 40 years old. So I have left.
Right.
I'm 40 years old. So I feel that there's so many people that are been in and out of my life, and I just want to share. It's about my life, basically.
I love that. You know, I was, you were talking about your friend in West Palm Beach and their successful business. I was reading someplace, and I don't know if it's true or if this just came from the Cuban whatever, but I heard that Cuban immigrants are the most successful immigrants that enter the country. So, you know, when they come to the country, they make something, they make a big business or they make something of it, of their experience. Again, I don't know if that's true or not, but it certainly sounds good.
I mean, no, says a lot on Florida. Telling you that is Florida have one of the biggest and most successful companies they own by Cubans. There is whole streets, there is buildings, it is true. No, maybe in all over United States, but I'm pretty sure that is a big part of Florida. I mean, I don't know if the senator is Cuban. I mean, I don't remember who else, but there is a senators, there is a lot of people that are really high on the government in Florida that are born and raised in Cuba, or they are second generations or something like that.
Yeah, that's crazy. My wife is from Tampa, and there's a huge Cuban community in Tampa as well. I miss the food, though. Do you miss the food?
Always. We don't have good Cuban food in Vegas. And I'm not good at cooking either. So can you imagine? It's bad.
Come on, Lisa.
I'm not good. Remember, I grew up on the street, bro. I grew up in a school. So I grew up on, I mean, I never had like a home where somebody teach me anything. You know, I grew up, figured out things myself.
Oh, yeah, though, because with social media and the internet, you had a whole year that you could have practiced when we're all locked down.
You know what happened yesterday? I tried to make these black beans and I had to toss it.
Stop.
They were so bad. Sometimes that is something that you need to, I mean, when you cook, there is a magic behind. If you don't have it or you haven't developed that, when you follow the YouTube recipes or even online or whatever, I don't know. I think there's a magic behind cooking that I don't have. Dude, no matter if I follow the recipe, it doesn't turn right.
Next time you're in Maryland, I'm bringing you some of my wife's black beans because they are insanely good.
Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you, and I have to stop here. I know we're talking about me, but I was in love with Maryland. I don't know because we don't have any green here. If you look at my stories, the whole time I was there, I was literally recording the trees. It's so green and it's so beautiful. And I love seafood. So Kia took me to this seafood place that I almost explode. I have so many oysters, maybe like 25. I'm not kidding, or 30. I don't even know what's so many. Like it was so many that I had. I cannot even...
Were you able to get any crabs, like crab cake?
Yes, it was crab. Everything was crab. I was like, whoa. Every time I look, all the recipes had crab. And I was like,
crab and Old Bay. Old Bay everywhere.
It was so good. The food was so good.
Next time you come here too, we'll take you to a Cuban restaurant. There's a couple Cuban restaurants around.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm serious, man. And it's pretty good too. There's one in our hometown that ain't too shabby. So we'll take you up there too. We have to bring her in town, yeah. You know?
I have to move to the East Coast.
Come on.
I keep saying this. No, I'm serious. I keep saying this because all my life is on the East Coast. I don't know why. I don't have nothing against the West Coast, but all my favorite cities, my favorite food, I feel the people, I like it better over there. I don't know what I have with the East Coast, but I just love the East Coast.
Listen,
technically Cuba's on the East Coast.
That's it, exactly.
Yes, I'm Florida and all of that. Like, I don't know. Like, even my classes sell better over there.
You have to come to D.C. You have to come to D.C. too, because it's an hour flight to New York. It's a 2-hour flight to Miami. You know, you can just come to D.C. and you'll be centrally located as well. You can get to anywhere.
That's another thing that I love, how you guys have so many cities next to each other that you can be. You know how good that is? You know how many people fly here? They cannot even drive to Vegas. They have to fly. Uh-huh. The only people that drive here to get their head done with me are Utah, Arizona, some California. But there is a lot of people that they wish if they could just drive.
Well, I have if you come to DC, I have a salon to set you up with that they'll absolutely love you and you'll absolutely love them. So we'll have to do that. Well, or maybe we'll just do a class there and you can kind of get to know our peoples in DC, and they're raiding DC and you'll have a great time there. That's cool, man. I'm so excited that with your Redken future and your Mazzani future. And I mean, I'm a little mad that we're not going to see you on the road, but aside from that, man, I'm excited for you being with Redken and stuff. Cause that's pretty cool. It's really interesting too, because Redken's going to kill me for this, but like, I know Matrix just came out with like a all hair texture color line. Like it seems like the industry, and we're not even going to debate whether they were pushed into it, because I think we all absolutely know that the brands were pushed into paying attention to textured hair. And a lot of that credit goes to you, Lisa. Certainly a lot of that credit goes to Kia, because Kia's been doing, Kia's been pushing for it as well. But it seems like at this point in history, and who cares how we got here, we're here, that the brands are really stepping up in like you said, Bumble and Bubble representing, you know, textured hair. And like I said, Matrix came out with a color line that's supposed to be good for, honestly, I don't even know about, it was Kerastase. When I said Bumble and Bumble, but it's Kerastase that they did it. But I don't even know how is hair color different on textured hair and not textured hair? Like, I have no idea.
I mean, I feel that it's just the approach. It's just all about the technique. And I can say this not only because I work with Cosmoprof that allow me to try different brands, but not to mention that I figured it out there. I figured it out there that no matter what I have on my hands, we're about my hands, we're creating the magic. The products are the tools, and I believe there is amazing brands up there, and they all have high quality products. I mean, I think they all good. But going back to the question, I feel that it's more understanding the fabric that you have in front of you. Mm-hmm. Because the same problems you can cross with straight hair. If somebody have extremely fine hair, might get hot roots compared with somebody that have more dense. You know, it's just, and it's the same product that you're using. It depends what fabric you have in front of you, what is going to change the way that color is going to perform. And of course, your technique, your ability to understand when to stop. I think with curly hair or textured hair in general, is understanding when to stop and when is enough. But the same thing happened with straight hair. If you overprocess somebody with straight hair, the hair is going to break too.
Right.
That's what I say. I don't want to say that it is extremely differently one from the other one. It's just react and respond different depends the ability for that you have to understand what to do.
Right.
Well, hopefully, because Ritkin, they were at all the big shows. So hopefully they get you out there so we can hang out and spend some time together.
It's totally selfish, isn't it?
Yeah. I just want to see you teach them how to salsa.
Yeah, I want to see that too.
And we have to record that.
No.
I will record it.
Yeah, that's going to go viral. Come on.
I'm down, man. Whatever you need, Lisa. Whatever.
Now you stay here. You know how people are going to be waiting for that. Right. I'm just saying, don't be a chicken now.
I'm not a chicken, man. Hey, Lisa. So we just got word that that the Saturday before premiere, I think that's October 16th, right?
Yep.
Is that the date? And then at ABS, the night before on Saturday night at ABS, we just got confirmation.
September 10th.
We're gonna be having a party with Schedulicity. That's both the Saturdays before ABS and the Saturdays before premiere. So if you're listening to this and you're gonna be at any of those shows, please come to hang out with us. And if Lisa's there, Lisa will definitely be at the shows on Saturday night. So we need to get your butt to some shows.
And
so
if
we can
Lisa
hang out.
Shows up to one of those parties,
No. It has to be a class. It has to be a classroom. Like,
has to be separate. I don't want to do that to him.
No, thank you, Lisa.
I want it to be a pro when he gets.
No. Here's what Lisa's really saying is that she wants to go to these parties and have a good time. She doesn't want to be held up by like my two left feet. Right. That's what she's saying. We'll deal with two left feet backstage in a hallway someplace. But when she's at the party, she wants to have fun, not dancing with some like stupid guy.
All right.
Oh, some stupid old guy.
Well, I'll let her get a couple of drinks in her, and then I'll encourage her.
Oh my God, you guys are bad.
Oh man, I can't wait. Yeah. Lisa, thank you very much. Thanks for hanging out with us, man.
So how can people find your podcast first?
Yeah. How can people find your podcast?
I mean, it's everywhere, guys. Everywhere. My American Vida. And you can find me on Instagram. I create an account, My American Vida. And just listening. And if you have something to say, if you want to connect, like I say, I'm going to talk about so many different themes. If there is any tema that resonates to you or you want to connect with me in private, just do it. DM me, email me. I want to know what you think about. I want to share. I want to basically it's in a space where I want to connect with my audience for the longest time. Even for a lifetime, because I don't think this can be deleted, right? Unless we delete it. Right. I feel social media sometimes, especially on the stories, they last 24 hours. That's what I share more about myself. On my page, I mean, I don't share too much about who I am. So I feel this is a space to connect who is Leysa, you know, how I became who I am today.
That's awesome. Beautiful. That's so cool. She nailed it though, right? Like that is, you only get to do like 15 seconds at a time, you know, on the stories. And then on the feed is just like, this is who I am as a professional, who I am as a person, his own stories. And the podcast allows her to really get in depth with that. I love that. Well, yeah. I can't wait to listen in. I'm definitely going to go check out the first few episodes here. I want to hear about how you got into dancing and stuff like when she said that, I was like, oh, we didn't talk.
And can you share with me what you think? Yeah. It's important because you guys have been doing it for a long time. I'm telling you, the first one, I know the best. I think I have 5 now. And I mean, not that I know the best, people like it, but I know that I can do better. And I have already recorded like 3 more. And I felt way better. Right. Like you say, I think the more you do, the better it gets. So please don't judge me by the first 2, 3.
If you listen to us, if you listen to our first podcast or two, and you listen to us now, it's night and day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I figured it. So
yeah, we tell people, if you listen to us from now and go backwards, we just get worse. So
we definitely get worse.
So I hope people don't stop on the 1, 2, 3. Right. They go to the whole lesson. No, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, there's my first lesson.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
I don't think anybody will stop because you're so infectious. You're so genuine and so real. And we really, really appreciate you. And we truly, truly love you.
And at the next hair show, she's giving out free dancing lessons. So at least to me. At least to me, she will.
You're going to be next, please.
I know, man. Leysa, thank you. Thank you for the friendship. Thank you for coming on with us. And thank you very, very much for joining us on Your Day.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, share it with friends, give us a rating, and drop a review. To listen to all the latest podcasts, please subscribe from your favorite podcast outlet. And to stay connected on and off the show, you can follow us at Hairdistry on Instagram and all other social media platforms. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time. Peace and love.